remember those things as well in your life. In fact, some people remember and they hold on to those things, right? You hold on to those memories and photos and letters, and some of you remember those things and the stuff that you have that is hard for you to let go of. And so you put it in boxes and store it, and maybe even pay for it to be stored in storage units somewhere, because it's very difficult to let go of those things because they remind you of some good times in the past. You're sentimentalists. My wife has all the letters that I wrote to her before we got married. She keeps them in a box somewhere, and every year on her anniversary, she pulls them out and she reads them to me again to remind me of how I used to be. No, I'm only kidding. Sentimentalists. There's something to remembering and reminiscing and keeping track of the way things were. There's value in that. The Bible says something like this. It says, don't remove the ancient boundary stones, because there's something significant about that. Moses encouraged the people to remember what God did for them when he brought them out of Egypt. Jesus said that every time we take the Lord's Supper, to remember. But there is a distinct difference between remembering the past and worshiping the past. Remembering the past and trying to live in the past. We need to remember the past while understanding that God is not finished yet, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for this church. The best is yet to come for this community. Before there can be something new, however, we have to be willing to turn the page on a new chapter. Are you willing to turn the page on a new chapter? A new season. We love the seasons until it snows, right? Then not so much. But the good thing about seasons is even the cold weather ends and it gets warm again. Seasons are good things, believing that the best is yet to come. Sometimes we hold on and we say, oh, I remember the good old days. The good old days. Things were so much simpler. Things were easier. Now we have all kinds of conveniences in our life that are very inconvenient, such as email, such as our cell phones, such as all of the apps that keep track of everything, and they were supposed to make life easier, but instead they take up more of our time. Oh, I remember the good old days. But I believe that God shows us in his word again and again, and he's reminding us again today, that the good old days really don't compare to the good new days that he has in front of us. There has to be something that we move on from in the past in order to move in to the future. Do you remember the children of Israel when they were moving out of Egypt and coming into the promised land? They looked back, didn't they? There were things that they missed. They said, oh, if we could only have those great stews that we had when we were in Egypt. The onions. Oh, we don't have any onions in the desert. All of the fish, we don't have that now in the desert. And they began to long for the way it was, but they conveniently forgot that they were slaves. It wasn't so good. Oh, maybe you had some good meals, but you were a slave at the time. Do you remember the story when God delivers his people from the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot and his family are released to run, but Lot's wife looks back because she was wanting to hold on to what she had. Even the scripture tells us, with regard to our former way of life, to put off the old self and take on the new self. We see throughout scripture these stories of people that are willing to turn the page, willing to say, we remember the past, but we're not going to worship it. We realize that God has something new and the best is yet to come. The examples we have is Abraham, for instance. When Abraham was called to leave his native country and go to a land that God was yet to show him, he had to say yes to something new. When Nehemiah left the comfort of the palace, he was in a place, the cupbearer to the king. But God said to him, go to a broken down city of Jerusalem, because I am calling you to something new in the future, something to come. And then the best example of all, right around this Christmas season, we have the example of Jesus, the Son of God, emptying himself, not holding on to what he had in order to come, to give his life, to live among us, because he brought out of the old the new. He changed our life because of a willingness to go to the cross, to endure it because of what he saw in front of him, right? For the joy set before him, the best that was yet to come, he endured the cross for us. But yet it is so, sometimes so hard to let go of what we've known. Recently, Lisa and I were pastoring a church for 18 years, and God told us that our season was done. And, you know, as every pastor we know, as pastors, we always say, oh, the church belongs to Jesus. It's the Lord's church. But when God tells you to move on, you start to say, is it really Jesus's, or was I trying to hold on to it like it was mine? But when the Lord calls you to something new, he calls you to let go of what you have known. And it's not easy, because there's change. It takes away our comfort. We become used to what we've been doing. There's pain in it. But the best is yet to come means that something new is coming. And something new coming means something is going to become different. Something is going to be in the past. All of that translates to something new. All of us have stories of change in our life. We've all celebrated seasons in our life, chapters in our life. Some of you have been fortunate to be able to celebrate a child getting married. And especially if it's a daughter, that's a celebration, but it's also a sadness. Because you are, in essence, saying to that guy who is taking your daughter, she's all yours now. And you better treat her well. But you walk down the aisle, you kiss her goodbye, knowing that her life is going to change and so is yours. But it's a celebration. Maybe you've changed jobs. You know what that's like. You've gone off to college and left home. You've started a business. You moved from another nation to come here. Change. Outside of the comfort zone. And today, right here, right now, you are experiencing something very new. You are now not only having a new building, but you are part of a new perspective in our denomination as a covenant Four Square church, meaning that you are still part of the Four Square family, but you are going in a direction that has been ordained and blessed by the Four Square denomination so that every Four Square church can own its own property. So today you are moving as, really, you are kind of setting the pace for many others. Today is the start of what is yet to come. Now, I want to ask you something as you get ready to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 43. I want to ask you to think about yourself and what kind of person you are. How do you feel about change? How do you react to something new and something different? Think about when your children were little. Do you reminisce and think and say, oh, I long for those times. Yes, we had to change the diapers. We had to make sure they weren't naughty. We had to run them here and there. But, oh, I wish we could go to those days again. Do your favorite stories come from long ago? Or, on the other hand, are you a kind of person that's always dreaming about the next thing? You love to try new things. Someone offers you a food that you've never tried, you're the first one in line because you want to eat it, even though you may not know what it looks like and what it tastes like. You enjoy to think about the future. You love hearing about what the next generation is thinking. Are you one who can easily go to the past, or are you one that maybe moves too quickly to the future? Well, today I want to show you from God's Word what He's saying to this church, but what he says to you personally when it comes to this area of change and believing that the best is yet to come. In Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to start in verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships that they are very proud of. I am the Lord, your God, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. He's reminding them, as he's beginning to do something new, he's reminding them of his faithfulness and what he's done. I called forth a mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle. Verse 18, but forget all that. Forget all that, he's saying. The Lord is saying, those were wonderful things. It proves my faithfulness. But forget all of that, because it is nothing compared to what I am about to do. Did you hear the Lord say that to you this morning? I sense it in this place. Oh, we celebrate, we thank God for the past, but it is nothing compared to what I am about to do. For I am about to do something new. I have already begun it. Do you perceive it? Can you sense it? Church, can you sense it? Can you perceive it? I am about to do something new. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the wastelands, in the desert. See, the children of Israel had seen the Lord come to their rescue on several occasions. His power was revealed. His love was revealed. His purpose was revealed. Defeated the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Assyrians. They knew they were God's chosen people, his sons and his daughters. But they were also prone to just coast, to just relax, to become complacent, just like we are. And the Lord says to them, I'm about to do something new. And he says to you, I'm about to do something new. But moving into something new doesn't always mean that it is going to be the easy thing. In fact, it's usually just the opposite. And the way the Lord describes it here in this scripture is he says, you're going to go through a wilderness. And you're going to go through a desert. But don't worry about that. Yes, it will be difficult. It will be new. It will be uncomfortable. There will be growing pains and transition and challenges. But I'm going to make a pathway in the wilderness. And I am going to create rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. Back to what we know of our Savior Jesus. It is Christmas time. Jesus enters the world and he leaves the throne of heaven. Philippians 2 says that he emptied himself. He endured the cross. He makes the way for humanity in order for something new. Talks about him being the second Adam, right? That it goes from the old covenant, which Jesus said he didn't come to do away with, but he brings a better covenant, the new covenant, because the best is yet to come. But Jesus had to let go of what he knew and not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Fountain of the Living Word Church, this is kind of where you're at today. Something new will mean there's something old. It will mean honoring and celebrating the past, but not worshiping it. It will mean change. It will mean something different, even uncomfortable. Right? Uncomfortable. How many of you, us like that? I mean, we don't like the word uncomfortable. We want to be comfortable. We do everything we can to be comfortable. When you go to bed at night, you want to be uncomfortable? No, you want to be comfortable. We like that. But it'll also be hard work Here's, though, the truth, because it will blossom, though. It will blossom with new possibilities and a greater harvest. A road in the wilderness. The Bible says that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter till the noonday. A path in the wilderness. Wilderness roads are roads that are uncharted. They're untouched. Nobody has been there before, but you get to bring the inroads by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you drive around the roads in this community, you don't think often of what it was like 200 years ago. But there weren't the roads we have here. There weren't the stoplights. There wasn't the pavement. Somebody had to say, I'm going to go first. And they made roads in what was once a wilderness but is now settled. Roads in the wilderness means breaking through darkness, taking new territory, coming against the enemy who has held people captive. God's road in the wilderness are breakthrough moments when it goes from darkness to light, when a new thing appears, even though it may be wilderness and it is hard work, new territory. Because the good old days, there may have been good, but they don't compare to what God is yet to do, and the best is yet to come. And then he says, there are rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. Fountains. Hello, fountains in the desert. Fountains in the desert. How does that happen? How many of you like water? Come on. You like water? I mean, listen, I love water. Not just drinking water. We like to go to the water. You know what I'm saying? We like to go to the beach. We like to go to the pool, go to the river, go to the lake. I mean, we love the water. Because the water symbolizes life. Wherever it flows, Scripture says, there is life. God has called you to be a river in the desert. A river in the desert. It's like an oasis that refreshes, that relaxes, that says, drink in, be strengthened. A river in the desert is God saying this to each of us, no matter how you feel. No matter how dry it seems, regardless of how long your journey has been, whatever you're going through that seems like a desert, there's streams that are about to come up. There's rain that's about to fall. Amen, amen. There are rivers cutting through. Behold, the Lord says, can you perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. Because you got to perceive it. See, in order to see it, you may not see it this way, but you've got to see it with eyes of faith. The best future is seen with eyes of faith. Not just any kind of faith, but faith in a God who has been faithful. For he said, you remember what I did in Egypt? I'm about to do it. But not just how I did it. It doesn't compare. What I'm going to do. But remember that I have always been faithful. Shall you not know it? Can you see it? Can you expect it? You know, when we think about remembering, I want to just jump over to verse 26 because this really speaks about the entire aspect of God. Because he says earlier, or in later in the chapter, if you're going to remember, put me in your remembrance. Put me in your remembrance. So we don't just remember what he did, but we remember who he is. We aren't just grateful for the gift of this place, but we are much more grateful for the giver of the gift himself. Put me in remembrance. If you want to remember the past, remember what I did. Remember my love for you. Remember that I will never through that wilderness land, when you're going through that desert, when you are walking through those difficult times, the wastelands, I am with you. The psalmist says this, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Fountain of living word, how great is the Father's love for you. Blessing you with a new building, a new position in the Foursquare family, but mostly blessing you with himself. Because in the roads in the wilderness, he walks with you on those. The rivers in the desert, he's the one who provides those. I want to just challenge you that every single one of you are necessary for the next season. You're part of this church for a reason. Pastor Chinadu and Pastor Dorothy, you are incredible leaders, servant leaders, heartfelt leaders that work hard but lead from a humble and honoring place. A great example to the body of Christ. And every one of you, I know how your pastor thinks. I love every one of these people in the church, and they are all needed. Every one of them is called. Every one of you is called to be part of something new. You're all called to be a part of the best that is yet to come. For each one of you, for this church, for the community God has put you in, the heavens and the earth rejoice with you. They rejoice with you in the best that is yet to come. Let's pray together.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.